It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up, we'll find out how UW-Madison students are using photos and social media to start a discussion about race on campus.
First, the U.S. had another big Tuesday yesterday as voters in Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island went to the polls to cast their votes for presidential nominations.
It was a big night for the front runners in both parties, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and businessman Donald Trump.
I just want to thank all of you, everyone who came out to vote here in Pennsylvania and across Maryland and Delaware, Connecticut, Rhode Island.
I just want to thank everybody. This is a far bigger win than we even expected, all five. And that's something that's really...
Clinton won in four of the five states. Trump emerged victorious in all of them.
We're still a few months out from the nominating conventions this summer, and the field hasn't narrowed to just Hillary Clinton for the Democrats. Bernie Sanders is still in there, and on the GOP side, Ted Cruz and John Kasich are still in the game in the hopes of thwarting Trump and forcing a contested Republican convention.
Joining us now is Francesca Chambers. She's the White House correspondent for the Daily Mail. She's also been following the candidates on the campaign trail for the 2016 presidential race. She joins us now to talk about last night's primaries and some news from today. Francesca, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Well, before we go to last night, Francesca, news leaked earlier today. Ted Cruz had a big announcement coming up. Turns out it looks like that big announcement. He has a running mate, even though he's not the nominee yet, Carly Fiorina. So what do you make of this decision now? Usually people wait till they're the nominee to start talking running mates.
Well, after last night's results, Ted Cruz is trying to shake things up in this race. It's become clear that he could not win the nomination outright. He would have to do it on the floor in a contested convention, like you said. However, he thinks that if he has the energy behind him of a running mate or someone like Carly Fiorina, a woman, given some of the comments that Donald Trump has made about women, that it would create some energy behind his campaign, help him in this final stretch, and perhaps convince Republicans to support him at the convention if Trump does not clinch the nomination before then.
Do you think the timing of this nomination, you know, we wake up in the morning, all the news on the Republican side is Trump wins big, bigger than expected, has a realistic path maybe to that 1,237 magic number of delegates that he needs. We've got to change the headlines quick.
There's no doubt that he is trying to grab the headlines after what happened. Not only did Trump win big, Cruz knew this was going to happen. He didn't even bother to campaign in those states for the most part in the final days, staying instead in Indiana where the next contest is next week. So he knew that he had to change the headlines before Indiana votes, absolutely.
And Carly Fiorina, you mentioned a woman. That's something that's maybe worth bringing onto an anti-Trump ticket. Also, a person known not for a political career, but for a business career. Is that something that maybe is an effort to balance out Donald Trump's resume?
Well, having that private sector experience is something that's going to be very important to Republicans who are possibly considering Ted Cruz. But also, she will play the role, as vice presidents have in the past on as running mates on these tickets, as an attack dog. And we've seen from these debates that Carly Fiorina has no problem playing that role. So she'll be able to say things about Donald Trump and about the Democrats and even Hillary Clinton, who's also a woman, that Ted Cruz just wouldn't be able to say without turning voters off.
Well, with anything done to stop Trump at this point in the Republican race, is this too little too late?
He's very close to getting the nomination at this point. It's possible that he will not get it before the end of these contests in June, but after last night, he now needs less than 250 delegates to be able to win this, and there's still 616 delegates available in the race. So as you can see mathematically, it's very possible at this point that this last minute move by Ted Cruz won't even matter because Trump will get the nomination anyway.
Talking to Francesca Chambers about the latest in national politics, including last night's primary results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of those results? What do you make of Ted Cruz announcing a running mate today before he's the nominee? That's Carly Fiorina, 800-642-1234. Francesca, staying with the Republicans and last night's results. Donald Trump, as you mentioned, expected to win. Not a surprise that he won. He exceeded expectations, it looks like. Why do you think that is?
Well, partially because of what I said about Ted Cruz more or less conceding those states to him, knowing that he couldn't win there, and changing his focus to Indiana, which is a winner-take-all state, where if he can pull off a win over Trump, he would get all of those delegates and deprive Trump of more delegates that he would need for the nomination. So that created room, I think, for Trump to be able to succeed in those states at a rate higher than possibly expected and even indicated in polling.
And I've seen some analysis, Francesca, that yes, there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who want to stop Trump, but a lot of those people might not be real eager to stop him by voting for Ted Cruz instead. He's not, like, at the outset of this thing, he was the one people were worried about in the Republican establishment. They don't, and John Kasich isn't winning delegates, so they maybe Trump's winning because they don't have another viable option out there.
Well, that's been the irony of this election on the Republican side all along, which is that Ted Cruz, not the most liked guy in Washington, and not necessarily the most liked guy by the Republican establishment. And so now, given the choice between him and Trump, because, again, as you noted, John Kasich just doesn't have the delegates to realistically be a player in this at this point, unless it goes to a convention and, you know, everything goes breaks loose and it goes past a few ballots. And Trump doesn't win it on the first ballot. But yes, that is part of what's happening here. And as Trump said, and we'll have to take him at his word, there have been so many folks that are considered part of the establishment who have been coming up to him at this point and saying they recognize he's probably going to be the nominee, and they want to beat Hillary Clinton, so they're ready to get on board.
Well, let's move over to the Democratic side of things now. Hillary Clinton technically lost the state of Rhode Island yesterday, still picked up 11 delegates. So what do you make of her pretty big win? She had some delegate gains, so her lead is bigger than it was going into yesterday. What do you make of her win last night?
Well, Bernie Sanders won Rhode Island, which is the one state that predictably he would win yesterday. It's some tough knocks for him. In Connecticut, he could have done very well there, but Hillary Clinton campaigned there aggressively with the Sandy Hook families even, and that is a state where gun violence is obviously going to be a very touchy and salient issue, and she effectively campaigned against his record on gun legislation, so she ended up winning that state as well. Pennsylvania is a state that the Sanders campaign openly said before yesterday that they were targeting. It had the most delegates to give out, and had he won it in a big way, it could have tipped the scales in his favor for this election. However, he lost very large to her there as well, as polling indicated that he would, and it really made it to where he doesn't actually have a path towards the nomination at this point where he would beat her in pledged delegates. He said today that he believes that he still has a very narrow path, but it's become very apparent just based on the remaining delegate math that he will unlikely be able to beat her in pledged delegates, so he'd have to rely on those super delegates that are supporting her to change their minds.
And his campaign has sounded a little different, and Hillary Clinton talking a little differently now. People saying it sounds like she's now really starting to pivot and look toward a general election. Here's a listen to what she had to say last night at her victory rally in Pennsylvania.
Too many people feel at the mercy of forces too big for anyone to control, and they just worry that those of us in politics put our own interests ahead of the national interest. The faith that we can make things better, that we can give our kids a better future than we had, is at the heart of who we are as a nation.
So, Francesca, can Hillary Clinton really now securely pivot from running against campaign from Bernie Sanders that has really exceeded initial expectations, maybe even his own expectations, and start really running in this general election?
You know, I spent a lot of time working on a story about this today that I encourage all of your listeners to read about how Bernie Sanders supporters want him to stay in this race. They have been disappointed with the tone that Clinton has taken towards them, and they feel disrespected. They're upset by the idea that she's sort of spreading out there that Bernie Sanders should just get behind her and they should just fall in line behind her as the Democratic Party nominee if she is able to clinch the nomination. They don't think that's fair. They think that she should have to work for their vote, and they don't think that she's done that so far.
talking to Francesca Chambers. We'll pop that article she just mentioned up on the Central Time Facebook page. Francesca's the White House correspondent for the Daily Mail with us to talk about last night's primaries and the road ahead.
And we want to hear from you. Were you surprised by last night's results? Do you think it's too early for candidates to choose their running mates? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Again, the number 800-642-1234. Or you can leave us a comment over on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. And we're talking about yesterday's presidential primaries. Hillary Clinton walked away with more than 200 delegates last night. And Donald Trump won big, getting most of the delegates in all five states.
Francesca Chambers stays with us. She's White House correspondent for the Daily Mail. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is it time for second or third place candidates to drop out of the race? Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Bernie Sanders, should they stay or should they go? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We talked about Hillary Clinton maybe pivoting toward a general election. Donald Trump has been blasting Hillary Clinton at this point in the campaign. An interview with Fox News, he said she'd been using the woman card to get ahead. During his victory speech last night, a reporter asked him to follow up on that. Here's what he had to say.
I think the only card she has is the woman's card. She's got nothing else going. And frankly, if Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote. The only thing she's got going is the woman's card. And the beautiful thing is women don't like her, okay? And look how well I did with women tonight, okay?
So Donald Trump confronting what he calls the woman card head on there, Francesca. What do you think?
Well, if you look at Clinton's exit polls and the poll numbers, while he perhaps inarticulately stated it, Hillary Clinton has earlier in this race actually not won as many women as you would have expected. In fact, Bernie Sanders was doing quite well with women early on, and then Clinton sort of pivoted in her campaign and started to talk more about pay equity and paid family leave and some of these other women's issues that Bernie Sanders had actually been talking about quite frequently as part of his platform. But it's no doubt, though, that Clinton's numbers have obviously improved with women and men and all kinds of other voters as she moved closer to getting the Democratic nomination.
Let's go to our callers now. Alexandra is on the line in Madison. Alexandra, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say your question was whether we kind of anticipated this, and I felt like I anticipated that Clinton was going to do really well in all these states because I think that a lot of it is framed and influenced by how the media portrays previous states. Because, you know, Bernie Sanders won in Wisconsin, which is a swing state. And regardless of who wins there, you know, New York is going to go blue either way. Yet it was portrayed as this really important state to say who should be in the general. And so then I think it really influences and sways future voters into who they think would be good in the general election. And I think that in the way it was portrayed, it influenced towards Clinton because of the emphasis on the New York primary.
Alexandra, thanks for bringing that up. Francesca, you know, Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders won in Wisconsin. People thought maybe this is a momentum booster, but as Alexandra says, they didn't win in New York, and people made a lot of that, partly, I guess, because of the big delegate counts. Did we put too much in the media, too much attention on what came out of New York last week?
Well, the big delegate count did matter, though, because for both of those candidates, they needed those delegates to be able to move on in this and grab the nomination. And it's not just New York. Pennsylvania had a large delegate count as well. And California, very large delegate count, 475 delegates on the Democratic side. It's a fact that Bernie Sanders could not win this election if he does not win the majority of those delegates. I mean, he probably can't anyway, but it is a fact that without California, as his campaign has stated and put so much emphasis on, that he won't be able to do that. So I don't think it's just the media, though I will agree that we do have a tendency to place a lot of emphasis on some of those really big states like New York. It's the campaigns as well. Again, the Sanders campaign is the one talking about how important the state of Indiana is, or the state of California, and every state really that comes along.
Well, speaking of New York and Indiana, Ted Cruz didn't have a great showing last night, as you mentioned earlier, and he didn't really count on much, but he's focusing on the road ahead. Here's what he had to say in a speech last night in a key state for him coming up, Indiana.
The media has told us the candidates in this race, the Republican and Democrat, they're both going to be New York liberals. But I got good news for you tonight. this campaign moves back to more favorable terrain.
A lot of attention, especially from Ted Cruz on Indiana, where he was speaking there, and this deal with him and John Kasich saying Kasich lays off campaigning in Indiana, Cruz lays off campaigning in Oregon, and New Mexico, I think, more Kasich potentially friendly states. Is this deal going to do anything for either of them, Francesca?
Well, to go back to New York for a second and what he just said there, that whole New York values thing, mm-hmm. if we were going to talk about Republicans in New York for a moment, that's what did Ted Cruz in New York, not just the emphasis I think that other people were placing on it. It was that he keeps saying and has said this thing about the New York values, and that sort of thing turns off voters in a state like New York, even if it plays well other places in the country like Indiana. And in Indiana, that is a state where he has to do well at this point because he set the expectations very high, right? With this deal that we're talking about with Kasich, where Kasich supposedly wasn't going to campaign there, although that's sort of up in the air based on some of the things he's done in the last few days. But by making that agreement, it puts Cruz in the position of, if he can't win there, when it is basically a two-man race, because Kasich's not campaigning as heavily, then that's very difficult for him if he loses that state to Donald Trump, because then it says, where can he win?
Well, and the numbers really add up for Donald Trump if he wins Indiana. It's going to be hard to stop him maybe from hitting that majority if he can take Indiana, right? Francesca? I think we've lost Francesca Chambers. We'll bring her back up in a sec. Talking to Francesca Chambers from, hold on just a sec, Francesca Chambers from the Daily Mail. She's on the campaign trail following the candidates, looking at last night's primary results. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is it time for candidates to drop out of the race, people who aren't in first place? Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Bernie Sanders, or should they stay in it until the convention? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll see what you have to say. Absent Francesca now, Brett joins us in Green Bay. Brett, hi.
How you doing? I was just wanting to make a comment that I believe Hillary Clinton wouldn't be doing as well as she is because the primaries are closed to independent voters a lot. In Arizona, there was countless people that were disenfranchised. Their registration as a Democrat were changed to independents. Independents are shut out of this election. And I think if Bernie Sanders should run third party, because when you see an open election, you'll see a lot more people voting for him. But that's all I got. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Brett, thanks for that call. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on the state of the primary right now. Should everybody stay in until the convention? Or should Bernie Sanders, John Kasich, Ted Cruz drop out? What do you think of Carly Fiorina as a vice presidential candidate if Ted Cruz should win? He's announced that today. Looks like we have Francesca Chambers back with us. And Francesca, I wanted to ask you what you're looking at next in this race, apart from Indiana, obviously.
Apart from Indiana, the next big voting day will actually be that June 7th day, where for both sides, Republican and Democrat, that will determine a lot in this race. For Donald Trump, that's realistically the first day that he could get enough delegates to win this nomination. And on the Democratic side, that could be the day as well where Hillary Clinton sweeps a series of states that day and then has enough pledged delegates plus superdelegates, because on the Democratic side at this point, neither candidate could win with pledged delegates alone, but enough pledged delegates plus superdelegates that have said that they're supporting her, that she too will walk into her nominating convention with enough delegates to become the nominee. And everything between there, you know, well, some of it, like we said, in Indiana will get played up. But that's really the first day, that June 7th day, where we'll actually know what's happening in this race.
Bring on another caller now. Richard is with us in Monroe. Richard, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
I was wondering what the difference in delegates, minus the superdelegates, between the two candidates, between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton.
Richard, Thanks for the call. What's the so a lot of people say, oh, when you take out the superdelegate factor, Clinton isn't as far out in front. What does it look like without those superdelegates?
So on the Democratic side, Hillary Clinton, after last night, actually extended her lead over Bernie Sanders and pledged delegates significantly. She now has more than 330 pledged delegates over him. So that's why when you look at the remaining races that are left and how many delegates each have, Oregon, for instance, is a state where Bernie Sanders will win, but Oregon only has 60 delegates. So in order to be able to get up to, you know, that 330 gap at this point, he'd have to win New Jersey, and he'd have to also win California.
And those are proportionally assigned. He'd have to win them by a lot.
I know.
Is that right? All right, that was Francesca Chambers. She's the White House correspondent for the Daily Mail. She's been on the campaign trail following the candidates.
Coming up after the news, UW-Madison students are using pictures and social media to try to change the racial climate on campus. We'll talk to some UW students who organized the Real UW Visual Campaign. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.